They played a good style of football. They played a good football game. I think I have to do a better job at just putting our guys in better positions. I think it's always going to be about us and being able to adjust. And I think it's one of those games that I don't think we had a bad plan. The game was called bad. And I have issues saying that, but I'm full of accountability. Like, I want our guys to know, like, I'm in this with them, and I got to do a better job and hold to a standard, right? I think it was more us and me than it was them.
Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. Bills back to work this week. It'll be the Houston Texans Sunday, 1 o'clock in Houston. Looks like the Texans will have Tank Dell back. We'll find out this week what the Bills' story is on Terrell Bernard, Taron Johnson, and see how things look for those two as they get closer to a return. Jeremy and Joe, happy Tuesday. Looks like a nice day out there today. We are asking you to give us a thought, and we'll give you ours too on this. From the Baltimore game, what's real and what's not a big deal? A 35-10 blowout, something that does not happen to the Bills a lot. What's real and what's no big deal? Wide open phone lines for you, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550.
Can I throw another under-the-radar thing that you wouldn't think about a lot for this game that I think is real? I think the thought that the Bills were going to be one of these run-heavy teams in the league is almost completely dead for me now. Like, here's another game where they went out in the first quarter throwing the ball, and again, they took another step forward in neutral pass rate. They're now fifth highest in the league. They have less snaps in that because even in this game, they don't have, I mean, half their games 3 weeks in a row are over by halftime. Not over by halftime, but are, like, you know, outside of this context. But again, here are the Bills, like, throwing the ball more than other teams in the league. And more than the other good teams in the league. Like, the teams above them are like Cleveland and the Rams.
McDermott did have a comment yesterday that made me think he thinks that's getting away from them.
Did they want to run the ball more than that?
Yes.
That they got away from running it too much? I mean, I don't mind that. Like, they did stop running the ball pretty early on in this game, didn't they?
Well, they were down 21-3 at halftime. Although,
even before that,
pretty much right up till the trick play, they were running the ball in the second half, too. They were handing it to Cook.
They did start doing that. Yep. I don't think they're going to be near the top of the league in run rate.
So they won't be a run-heavy team?
I don't think they're a run-heavy team. I just don't think you can. I don't think you can be when Allen's your quarterback. Maybe you can, because if you look at teams like the Chiefs are way down there right now. The Ravens are always way down there. The Chiefs maybe are the one team to look at. Like, you can run the ball more, but the Bills are, so far, like, they ran it a lot in Arizona, and that's kind of it. Otherwise, like, the last three games to me, like, early on, they're, especially the last two, they're coming out trying to throw the ball on you, and it's worked once. Didn't work this last week.
So you think run rate, not a big deal. You're confident they'll be a pass team?
Yes.
All right. That's fair. What's one thing that's real? The conversation about receiver is already back.
I think it's...
it's already back, and...
yeah. It was only going to take one game like this.
That's probably right. And I fully expected a game or two like this, some games like this, where a team that has the chops defensively is not going to be afraid of anybody you've got. And you had some bright spots from Coleman, and other than that, you didn't have a whole lot going on. Shakir got loose behind the defense. Shakir got banged up too. Joe, the idea of trading for Amari Cooper, I don't think the Bills have really, I don't know, like, maybe I don't know how to read this one yet. It's early in the season. I bet the Bills are not surprised by that kind of game from this group of receivers. This is, like, let's track what happened. They brought in a bunch of guys to try and have some competition, and not one surprise came out of it. No one rose up and, look at this guy. We've got a new player who looks like he could be a spark plug. I mean, maybe that's KJ Hamler, who he's not on the team. Maybe he should be instead of MVS. MVS is here. Nothing. Zero. Non-factor.
Yeah.
Mac Hollins.
Empty calories.
Mac Hollins. Empty calories. Like, there's not a lot going on there. You've got Shakir. Coleman has flashed some nice bright spots. I bet they're encouraged by that. I don't think that the Bills are going to be all that motivated to add a Amari Cooper or you name it. I think that they know what they've got. You know, it's funny because a lot of the offseason was a lot of selling this idea that this is their ideal group and they don't want to have a big money guy. They don't want to have somebody that commands attention, which to me is not really believable. But you had a good point yesterday, I thought, when talking about the Patriots and the Brady years.
Mm-hmm.
That Julian Edelman made this point about how when Welker left, Brady recalibrated and started throwing to the open receiver. I thought you had a good point, which was, that's right, he did that. And then he found who that was going to be all the time and then threw it to that guy all the time.
Right.
That was Edelman. Edelman had 150 targets all the time.
Yep.
And then Gronk showed up, and what did they do? They threw the ball to Gronk all the time. 100 targets to Gronk, 140 targets to Randy Moss when he's on the team.
Yeah.
That what this process probably is a feeling out process for Allen, and as soon as he decides this is the player I can go to, like it's Kincaid and it's Shakir, and that's about it. Because in the everybody eats world, right now Curtis Samuel does not. Maybe he's not used in the right way. Dawson Knox definitely does not.
No, he's not involved at all.
MBS, like Hollins gets these targets, and Hollins and Allen are not on the same page. So
That's the one that's interesting to me, because it seems like he wants to throw the ball to Matt Collins. Yeah. It's just not working. He's not even looking at MVS, right? They're not even designing things for Curtis Samuel. He's not even playing receiver. He's playing running back on a bunch of these snaps. Hollins is the one that might be different, because it feels like the way Allen also has talked about him. I go all the way back to training camp when they were asking about the receivers, and the first name he would always say is Matt Collins.
Yeah.
And then here we go, in a game, prime time, they're throwing the ball, and he got targeted 6 times. I feel like Allen wants to throw the ball to Matt Collins. But man, I don't know. How long will he do that if it's just not going to work? That's the thing, right? He's not going to do that all season if he's going to catch one of every 5 passes.
He's kind of got the new Gabe role, where it's not going to be efficient, but they're hoping it's going to hit every once in a while. The thing is, with Gabe, that did hit.
You had some big plays.
You had lots of hits.
Yeah.
With Collins, you really don't have anything yet. We're 4 games into the season. I don't think they're surprised at all by what they've got in the receiver group. They're taking still like a $31 million cap to not have Diggs on the team. The decision to get rid of Diggs costs you more than Mack Hollins' salary. And I just mean the difference between Diggs being on the team and off the team. Mm-hmm. It took an additional, $3, $4 million hit. They've got 2 starting receivers that don't make that much money combined, right? Isn't Hollins and MBS are both under $4 million combined? So I don't think they're surprised. Bean's no fool. You get what you pay for. You have a year where things are kind of lean, and you try to make some cagey signings and think you got a low floor out of Hollins and maybe some explosive plays here and there. I don't think the Bills are surprised at all by this. I'm not.
Are they surprised that their 3-year, $24 million receiver, though, is a non-factor?
Unless the injury to his ankle is a bigger deal than any of us know.
Maybe. Because that would be the one guy you look at his numbers with Joe Brady, you look at even his numbers anywhere. He has not been a star. And his year with Brady, by the way, is his highest season. Over 1,000 yards of total production is his highest in a year. Take that out, even. Take out the year he had over 1,000 yards with Joe Brady. And what do you have in Curtis Samuel? You have a guy that, when he plays a full season, he's going to get you between 600 and 800 yards. That's generally what he does, which is like, what, a fine number 2, maybe a pretty good number 3.
800 yards is what Gabe Davis did for a lot of his career.
Yeah, he's on pace. What's he on pace for right now? 180 yards on the season. I'm not saying he's a world beater. I'm not saying he's a superstar. I know I did bet him to lead the league in receiving yards, by the way.
Okay, we might want to dip back into that for a minute.
It's like a dollar for like 500, but whatever. Come on. Even if he's not a world beater, he's not a Diggs replacement.
They were
not expecting less than 200 yards for a guy they paid $8 million a year to.
No, that's right. They were expecting a role player, and right now he's not really played any.
There is no role. What's the role?
It's not just him. It's MVS. It's Hollins. All these guys are supposed to play roles where the offense can't be predicted, and yet one thing that was predictable was that these guys would probably be limited in what they can give you. And when you face a defense, I don't know how good the Ravens defense is as compared to the Chiefs, which is really good. And, you'll have your fair share of good defenses. Baltimore is supposed to be one I could get explosive plays against, and the Bills couldn't.
Coming into the week, it looked like that was a gettable secondary.
And this week, it's Houston. It's kind of the same thing. You're supposed to be able to go down the field against Houston. And right now, it does not look like the Bills have much of a downfield passing game. Of course, that could change. 803-0550. We'll get some calls in here as we connect with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. West of New York's number one Kia dealer. What's no big deal and what's real from the Baltimore game? Dennis in Williamsville is up. Hey, Dennis, good morning.
Hey, guys. So I think a few things stand out to me as being real. I think, number one, on the defensive side, it's just simply, you know, we're just low on bodies and low on guys. We just got to get our starters back. I think that was pretty evident. I mean, it was a nice little fun little ride there. And I'm not saying it's over with those guys, but it's really hard, you know, to plug and play almost half of your defense. So I think that's part of it, and that's an obvious thing. But I think on the side of the ball, I did like Joe Brady. I still do. I think that there's a lot there to like. But I think the utilization of these guys, like we were talking about Curtis Samuel, you know, I mean, everything he does is lateral. I mean, his average depth of target has to be under 3 yards on the season after so many games, after four games. And, you know, Keon Coleman's route tree is a telephone pole. I mean, we got to do something else there. I mean, he can't just line up outside the numbers and run straight and do back shoulder throws all the time. So, I mean, it just looks like we're a little bit, I mean, if you're scouting our team, you're almost being able to look at what each individual guy does and be able to realize what you can take away. That we just have to get a little bit more diversified in what each player individually can do. We can't just keep doing the same thing all the time with all the same guys. So I think that's real. After four games, it looks like Curtis Samuel runs sideways, Keon Coleman runs up and down. And you know, our tight end and Shakir run somewhere around 8 to 12 yards, and that's our offense. Yeah. So that's got to change in order for us to progress. Yeah.
You know, Dennis, as you mentioned this, I'm thinking back to training camp. There's one kind of pass that happened at training camp. I feel like I saw it a lot, Joe. Maybe you can let me know if I'm remembering correctly. There were vertical throws up the sidelines to tight ends at training camp a lot.
Yeah.
Like, they got the ball to Kincaid up the sideline.
Yep.
And Knox, too. And has there been a throw like that? Or four games in?
Kincaid had one last week where he's, like, crossing the field.
Yeah.
But when he's kind of going up vertically, not that I can remember.
Average depth of target for Samuel. For Samuel is 3.7.
I'm looking at his. Are you looking at his career for that?
Yeah, the last 2 years in Washington, it was 6.7 and 6.6.
Look at what it was with Joe Brady in 2019.
In Carolina, it was 11.9 and 14.6.
That's the number. That's the year Brady's the coordinator all year in Carolina. 14.6
down the field to Curtis Samuel. Like, he's a guy that can do that, and they're using him 3 yards from the line of scrimmage.
All right, I'm willing to say it's got to be the injury. There's no way it's this different. Wouldn't they not have signed him with a plan that Brady would have been instrumental in that? Like, I've had this guy. He had 1,000 yards with me. I threw the ball to him 97 times with Teddy Bridgewater as the quarterback, and it worked. I've got a plan for him. I know how to use him. And then he's here, and it is completely different. It's not completely different in how he's lining up, but that right there, he's only getting the ball at the line of scrimmage and horizontally. And the last time he had this player, that is not how he used him. He was using him down the field. He was using him as a wide receiver. It has to be the injury. It has to be, right?
Or, I mean, sure, it could be a million things. Like, a lot of times we're left to speculate what the Bills want. They tell us some things. They keep things inside. How much of this offense do you think is designed to limit turnovers? Just that. How much of this offense do you think is this? Because what got Dorsey fired and what did Brady do? He cut down on the turnovers. Sometimes it's not the coordinator's fault. Sometimes it's a fumble.
Right.
But Allen winging the ball down the field and getting picked off three times against the Jets. Like, McDermott, does he care about interceptions as much as everybody else? Does he care about the interceptions more than me, more than you, as much as the 11 players that call Josh Allen overrated? Does McDermott care about the interceptions? Because what you've got with this offense is short throws and lateral throws and back shoulders to Keon Coleman. These are low-risk throws. Allen is not really putting the ball in harm's way. It's not in trouble anywhere. He doesn't have a pick. We're four games in.
Doesn't
Has he had a four-game stretch with an interception in his career until right now?
I might want to bet against that.
He's got four straight games, right? No picks.
Yeah. And how many do you have at the end of last year with Brady? Not many, right?
Not many. I wonder where, if you know, you're looking at Joe Brady's goals on a chalkboard. Like, all right, guys, first offensive meeting of the year. First thing we're going to do, number one, not turn it over. Because from a passing standpoint, they have a very safe passing game. 803-0550. Something I thought about is whether or not they could. Is it designed to lower his turnovers?
He has not had a stretch of four games. He has one other stretch in his career with where he's gone this long without throwing a pick. Weeks 7 through 11 of the 2019 season. He went 5 games in a row without throwing a pick. That's the only other one, though.
Did they go like 5-0 in that stretch?
They went 3-2.
3-2.
Which, again, is like turnovers are overrated.
For sure.
3-2. Mahomes, they're talking about how he can't stop turning the ball over. And what's the record?
4-0. Well, the defense is still pretty good.
Yeah, that's true.
But whatever. I mean, I wonder if that is a, you know, you always want to limit your turnovers, of course. How much of the offense is designed to specifically do that? Because these passing plays, I mean, Allen's been very protective of the ball. Johnny in Buffalo, next up. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I think our receiver core is fine. Keon Coleman, he's a rookie. He's going to take, and he wasn't a rookie who was supposed to make splashes instantly. He's made a couple good plays, but he's still grown into this offense. Curtis Samuel, I think he's got to still be dealing with that injury, and he's also grown into the offense. I think at the end of the year, as season progresses, we're going to see less Mac Hollins on the field. I think that as the season progresses, you're going to see more Keon Coleman. He's got to learn to be a better blocker. He's got to learn to do the things that Mac Hollins does because Sean McVay loves that stuff. And everybody loves a blocking wide receiver. But you'll see Shakir, Samuel, Coleman, and Kincaid. That's going to be your personnel if you don't have the two tight ends. And I'm thinking those guys are going to grow into this offense. Look, we're 3-1. Which is still pretty darn good. And if we went 3-1 the rest of the way, we're 13-4, for the most part, that last stretch of 5 games or whatever. But I think where I do get worried is if a guy goes down with an injury. You know, if Shakir went down for a 4 or 5 week span, who's stepping up in Shakir's absence? Or if, you know, Kincaid goes down with an injury, who's stepping up? Because Dawson Knox certainly hasn't gotten any targets. This is where I think we do need to add somebody. Hopefully, I know we're kind of in that cap hell situation right now, but like you said, Amari Cooper costs nothing. Who knows what they would want for him or he's even tradable, but a guy like that who is a veteran who can create his own space and can get open and I think would be amazing for Josh to have. I mean, it's a wish list type item, but listen, I think we need to add another piece of depth because Mac Hollins on the field all the time isn't what I envisioned with this offense. But again, not too worried, just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Johnny. On the receivers, yeah, I don't think they're fine, but I do think there's – what you're talking about is the potential that they'll get better. And with Coleman, of course, like we're at the ground floor on Keon Coleman. They're probably giving him limited snaps and limited responsibilities – and he got benched for a quarter in one game because he missed a meeting, was late to a meeting.
Yep.
Like, whatever. He's learning to be a pro. Coleman is kind of like off the table for me here on not quite off the table on evaluation. We yesterday went through all the rookie receivers, and a lot of them are in and producing pretty much right away. Worthy is producing in his role. Brian Thomas Jr. looks fantastic for Jacksonville.
I will say on Coleman, though, like, the 3 games he didn't get benched. Can I take not take out Jacksonville, but can I kind of just throw it to the side for a second here? Because he just didn't play in the first quarter and even in the second because he was late, right? The other 3 games, his snap count, 73%, 91%, 73%.
All right, so he's on the field.
He is on the field. And his numbers aren't bad. Like his numbers, there are rookies that are doing better, no doubt. But 126 yards and a touchdown, again, in one of those games. He wasn't on the field at the start, and he had a touchdown in that game. I mean, he's got 51 yards in 2 of the 4 games.
No, I don't think he's that far off of expectation at all, if he even is.
Like, that's not a disaster right now. Like, no. To me, that's the only place where I would... Well, no, I can't say that. I think if Samuel were to get healthier or just to be more involved, that's another element in their receiver room where you could have growth, where you would think, hey, what can I get more around Shakir? Like, to me, it would be those two things. It would be Coleman continues to progress as a rookie, and secondary, they start using Curtis Samuel and or he gets healthier from the toe.
Two names we mentioned in this segment, I'll get you, Mike Gennetti of SpotTrack talking about this. You want to trade for Amari Cooper?
Yeah.
At the deadline, the cap hit?
For the team acquiring him?
$605,000.
Oh, man, he really is free.
He's free.
I thought it was at least going to be like a few million.
Nope. Basically free. Extremely affordable trade candidate, Amari Cooper, if the Browns indeed decide to do that.
That means he's going to go for a higher pick then.
Right. The other part of this, DeAndre Hopkins, which I don't think the Bills need what DeAndre Hopkins does.
Yeah.
Maybe.
He's also playing through a partially torn MCL. So, like, I would be afraid of that.
The cap hit to acquire DeAndre Hopkins at the deadline is $6.5 million. The Bills don't have that room.
I'm out on that.
So Hopkins totally not happening. I
looked up Thielen, by the way. It would be like $7 million.
Yeah.
Like, that's not happening.
As we talk about wide receiver trades, you know, as the wide receiver train captain, whatever, I'm just content's the wrong word. I think the Bills are ready to ride this, see where it goes, see what they have in, I mean, Coleman's on the team for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Samuel's on the team for a 3-year contract. It's at least 2 years. They will probably extend Shakir. And then the next receiver is what? That's the MVS bucket with Mac Hollins.
Mm.
That's going to be the next piece they add to this offense, and I don't think they're in a rush to do it. I don't think they're going to feel like they have to panic. They're 3-1. Their defense had been playing great. So,
to me, to get an Amari Cooper, it would have to be a point in the season where they feel like those three, at least one of them, if not probably Coleman would have to be the one, and so far this has not really happened, would have to be falling well short of expectation. Like 2 years ago, when they bring in Cole Beasley at around the trade deadline, late in the year, what was part of the reason they did that? Because they had a rookie Khalil Shakir on the field as a fifth-round rookie.
And Allen didn't throw to him.
And Allen wasn't throwing to him, and Allen wanted somebody he felt like he could trust out there instead. And that's fine. Shakir got to his point eventually, but there was a time where they thought they needed Beasley. And to me, that would have to happen with like Coleman, where they get around deadline time, and Coleman, it's just not happening. And Allen goes, I need a veteran. I need someone that's more dangerous. I need somebody that I could trust more for this playoff run. And so far, to me, again, I don't think Coleman is playing poorly enough for them to think we need that.
No, I think they're probably encouraged by what they're seeing to this point. 803-0550. All right. You know, trade winds blowing around the NFL. Like the Chiefs are going to need a receiver. We're talking about what's real and what's no big deal from the Baltimore game. Give us a ring. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR.
Seattle's got to make a stop. Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to throw it back to Goff. Who had that on the bingo card? Touchdown, Lions.
Thank goodness there were two games last night. I'm going to put a sign in my yard. It's sign in your yard season. Sign in my yard. Monday night doubleheaders.
You're in?
I want Monday night doubleheaders every week. Yeah. Imagine if it had only been Titans-Dolphins last night.
That would have been tough.
Horrible.
Although, what if it was only Lions and Seahawks?
Okay, that's the same. You just watch that one.
Right.
The week before, it was Bills-Jags. Dog game for impartial observers. 34-0, right?
The second half was over.
It's a whole half a game. Yeah, you just turn it off.
The first half would have been fun. And then you had Jaden Daniels and the Bengals slinging it out.
Give me Monday night doubleheaders. I'm into it. Convinced. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Tuesday. Jared Goff caught a touchdown pass from Amon-Ra St. Brown. The Lions looked real good last night. So did the Seahawks to some point. I mean, their offense was good. DK Metcalf. I'll talk about receivers that are fun to watch. There were three in that game last night that are fun to watch. Maybe more. Amon-Ra St. Brown is my favorite to watch, among my favorite. DK Metcalf is a monster and fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And Jameson Williams, I know you have him in some dynasty, right?
Yep.
If you held on to Jameson Williams, it is paying off. he is doing what they drafted him to do. It took a little while to get there.
Yeah.
Injuries, gambling suspension too, I think.
Last year was the gambling.
But
yep.
He's good. And the Lions look the part.
And he is super fast.
Yes, he is.
Super fast.
Jameson Williams, we've waited so long on him. At one point, we wanted the Bills to draft him to go with Diggs as part of this offense. Get a speedy receiver like Jameson Williams. Anyway, here he is. He looks good. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. What's real? What's no big deal from this Bills-Baltimore game? Seen any real hot takes come out of it? Is Baltimore getting too high on themselves on it? I don't think so.
It is funny that some have been calling Baltimore now the best team in the NFL.
Rex Ryan, I saw yesterday, called Baltimore the best team in football.
It's like they did lose the Chiefs 3 weeks ago. They lost to the Raiders at home. It's very much just a whoever looked good the day before is the best team in the NFL type of league.
Yeah,
for some.
Pretty much. Jay on a cell phone. Hey, Jay, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. What's real is, you know, we got a lot of role players, and they're all mediocre right now. And, you know, nobody's emerged yet, and we're waiting for somebody to emerge. And in the meantime, defenses don't have to gear up for anybody but Josh Allen, who took a beatdown physically on Sunday. And he was Superman a couple times. But, you know, and I don't want to turn this into a Hardy versus, you know, our new shiny toy. But, you know, Hardy got over the top and gets in the end zone with a highlight reel play, and now defenses have to respect that. And we haven't done anything like that. You know, we've given no defenses anything to have to respect other than Allen.
You mean Worthy on that, right? Worthy getting over the top?
Or Worthy, sorry,
Yep.
Worthy getting over the top. And it's like, even though that's just one instance, it's something you have to respect. And the Bills have yet to do something with a player other than Allen that you have to give that kind of respect to. And, you know, this past game really just kind of highlighted that.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Jay. What can do that? It's you're really down to one name here. I mean, teams know Kincaid can play, and they know Shakir can play, and those guys live in the same part of the field.
Mm-hmm.
What the Bills offense needs for a little bit of a jolt here to get maybe some pressure, some attention off of those two, is they need it to be Coleman. They need him to come along quickly, right? Show that you can work on the outside, because it's, I don't know, I think it's unlikely to be MVS. MVS is going in to do one thing. Run straight down the field. Last week he had like a little hitch. Okay, that didn't work. It was incomplete. It was open. And Hollins is not going to be anybody that good defenses are too afraid of. It's Coleman, which is probably how it was always going to go. If your receiving core was going to be a good, you were all happy, it was going to be because somebody rose above their expectation. And for MVS and Hollins, the expectation is modest. For Coleman, it's probably a little higher. And if he can push past that, then they'll be in good shape.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to, I know you can't really do this, but pushing a little fast forward on Coleman would be nice.
Yeah. If I were a defense, I think I would want the team, I think I would want the Bills throwing the ball to Mac Hollins, right? Wouldn't that be part of your game plan? Is you throw it to him. Maybe Baltimore just did that, by the way. Singled up coverage, is that why the ball was going there? Because Baltimore was paying less attention to their other outside receiver and saying, okay, go ahead, throw it to him. Throw it to him on the outside, one-on-one, that's fine. We'll give him one-on-one. Let's see if you can execute that. Like, to me, if I were a defense playing the Bills, that is exactly what I would do. I would take Shakir away at the line of scrimmage. I would dare guys to beat me deep. To really just take away the middle of the field, right? Because I've got Shakir and Kincaid living there, and go ahead, throw it to the boundary. And if I can pay more attention to one of the boundaries, I guess it would be Coleman. Coleman's only catching the jump balls, but like those are happening, right? He's caught, how many of his catches so far are just, there's a guy right there, but he's got position.
Three of them. Contested body control sideline catches.
And maybe his three biggest catches so far. Well, the touchdown was one where he just got open. But
those are the two routes he ran in training camp.
Right.
And those are the two routes we've seen so far. The others, you know, those quick little stops against zone. 803-0550 to join us if you want to. The Texans this week.
Do you consider them a team that is going to exploit Bill's weaknesses like Baltimore just did?
Not really.
Because a lot of what Baltimore did, like, just we are physical and we are going to run it down your throat. And the Texans are, I'm not even saying this in a bad way, I like this sometimes, but they're more of a finesse team, right? They're throwing the ball a lot.
That's probably right. I
mean, week one, they were flying,
finesse, but maybe. I mean, they've got Collins, who's a bully out there, a true number one, one of the best, maybe best five receivers in football. Tank Dell is a firecracker, and Diggs is going to be their, I mean, Diggs has been their second receiver because Dell's been hurt. Diggs is not going to be the game breaker for them, but he's definitely been a part of their offense, an important part of their offense. Like you say, he's playing the Beasley role, and we sometimes use that as a knock against what Diggs might be doing, but we all know how big that role was here.
Yeah.
Playing underneath.
It was huge.
And the Bills are going to, I mean, he's probably going to get a bunch of catches against this Bills team. I don't know if, like you said, might be 7 catches for 62 yards.
Right.
But will he extend drives? Maybe.
Because the guy there you don't want to let go off against you is Collins. Because Collins, it is big plays. He does stuff with the ball in his hands after two, but it's just, he is down the field, he is open, and he also does have, because he's huge, he's giving you the Coleman stuff too. He'll get open on you, and then if he's not open, he'll still go up and jump the ball above you.
I think Tank Dell is that too. I mean, look at Tank Dell's explosive play rate. Like, that guy's, he's good. He's small. They've got two guys to do it. One big, one small. 803-0550. And then there's Stroud. Here's a redemption for McDermott game, right? He's got run all over by Derrick Henry and the Ravens. Okay, maybe the Ravens are a little bit of a different team than most. Houston is a good weapons, good quarterback. It's kind of like a Joe Burrow game here. This guy can make all the throws, and he's got the weapons out there to make all the catches. Can you stop him? Can you do that? How many guys do the Bills play like this that are this good? Mahomes is a little different, right? Mahomes is extending plays, pulling your hair out. This is just flat out, can you scheme and make it tough on C.J. Stroud? They did against Trevor Lawrence. No, the Bengals the Jaguars are 0-4, so they're having their troubles. Mm-hmm. But Trevor Lawrence can make all the throws and has pretty good weapons, and the Bills locked him up.
Yeah.
So a little bit of a redemption game here for McDermott and Bobby Babich. If they're able to make C.J. Stroud look like he doesn't have it, which this year's not exactly been a great gangbuster second season for Stroud yet. It's been good, but maybe you might have expected more.
I mean, even the Ravens
game. He's got 6 touchdowns in 4 games.
Stroud. Yeah.
That's low.
Yeah. That's way lower than he was last year. I think at this time, like, he was lighting it up.
Yeah.
I think the Bills, though, like, aren't they kind of designed defensively to limit a team like this? Like, even they are. What are they best at? Maybe they're best at if you have a team that has top receivers, the Bills are going to do a really good job at smothering them. They've done it with the Dolphins and Hill. They did it in week 1 against Marvin Harrison Jr. And they did it against the Jaguars for the most part. The Ravens, like, that wasn't their bread and butter. Do you want to know how many times the Ravens completed a pass to a receiver in that game on Sunday?
Let me see. There was 1 to Flowers.
There was one for 10. Flowers was 1 for 10 on Sunday.
And I don't know if Bateman caught one.
He caught 1 for 23.
Okay.
On 1 target.
And who else? Is that it?
Aguilar had 2.
Okay.
So 4 passes.
Went to receivers
in the Baltimore game. And that is, again, the thing the Bills are maybe best at limiting. So here comes Houston, and wouldn't you want to bet on Nico Collins having his worst game of the season? I'm not saying he'll do nothing, but part of that is he gets like 100 yards every single game. But wouldn't you want to bet on him having his worst game of the season?
Well, it's a good opportunity for Douglas and Benford.
Right.
Who's in for Taron Johnson? Like, who's covering Diggs?
That's unless it's Taron Johnson,
right?
If he's back, which might be huge, right? Because that guy is probably covering Diggs this week.
803-0550. More of your calls. If you're on hold, stick with us. Mark and Jay, hang tight. Jeremy and Joe, happy Tuesday. Monday night doubleheader. The Dolphins are, I mean, just it's the saddest season. Do you feel bad for them?
No.
You decide.
No.
You don't have to. And then Detroit. Are you happy for them? Yes.
Yes, I'm happy for. I'm happy Detroit has got a relevant football team.
Yeah, consistently.
And it looks like it's here to stay, like them being relevant.
Yeah, good job, Dan Campbell and Detroit. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
I,
I try to watch to see if I see any interactions on the sideline or anything. Not that I see a guy walking right past another guy. I can't imagine that now. I remember those days because I had those days, and it's because I didn't trust the guy and I didn't like the guy. I didn't think he knew what he was doing. And if you read my body language back in those days with those teams that I was on, you could tell that I was pissed off. And when I see Aaron Rodgers on the sideline and I see him after the game in the postgame press conference, there is a major issue there, and Volk will deny it. I guarantee it, but there is an issue there because you have this 40-year-old Hall of Fame quarterback to be dealing with a coach that I think he doesn't respect.
Cadence gate happening in New York with the Jets. Saw a good breakdown of this. I think it might have been, what's the show with LeSean McCoy and Emmanuel Acho? Not the film room, whatever it's called.
What is it?
It might have been
Chase Daniel is on the show too.
Yeah, they're talking about cadence. So basically, Rodgers...
The facility,
okay. It might have been this show. I'm sorry if it's not. We've got a quick thought on this and then some calls. The cadence from Rodgers. You've heard a million times. No one has used the free play more than Rodgers in touchdowns, right? He gets guys to jump off sides. Mm-hmm. How does he do it? With a hard count, with cadence. Mm-hmm. And the guys are going in and breaking down how Drew Brees was great at like a double count. And Rodgers, it must have been Chase Daniel who would have played with him. Rodgers does a triple, and often three times. That's how he gets teams to jump offside. So you are asking your linemen to stay in their stance longer. Rodgers, by doing this, is asking more of his linemen.
Yeah.
And instead of getting what he normally gets out of this, which is free plays and 5 yards here and there, they got a bunch of false starts. So the coach, Robert Saleh, says, yeah, maybe we should dial that back. And Rodgers, who's done this his whole career,
right?
This is one of those spots where if you don't like Rodgers, like, hey, coach, he's a Hall of Famer that has done this, and if you have guys that can't keep up with him, those guys are the problem. This is something good for your team. He is exploiting a benefit. He is exploiting something. For you to tell him to dial it back because the linemen aren't good enough, and that's what Rodgers said, like, he's holding them accountable. Make sure these guys get the job done. So I actually think Rodgers is on the right side here.
I'd want to know... I'd be curious. I would guess it's probably in his favor. Are we just sure that this he hasn't always, like, his teams haven't led the league in false starts, though, because of this? Because shouldn't that be taken away from all the numbers about, hey, he leads the league. He's got five free plays this year for three touchdowns and 50 yards. Yeah, but he had 40 false start penalties.
Well, I mean, if it's three touchdowns to 40 false starts,
yeah, no, I know.
I feel like we would have heard about that.
That's probably right. I would want to think it happens more with his teams.
If it's 3-3, you would trade a false start for a touchdown every time.
That's okay. Yes, that's right. That's right.
Interesting, though, to see what they ultimately do about it. Get a call in quickly. Mark in Orlando before Howard picks the Bills. Hey, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, what's real is, like we've been saying, I just don't think we have a number one receiver that teams need to double up, you know, with Diggs. Say what you will. They still had to respect them and double them up, and it just left guys open to run free a little bit. I was just wondering also, with Samuel, when he had his big year in Carolina, who was his number one receiver? I think he had a good number one. But
was it DJ Moore, Joe, at that time?
He had two guys ahead of him. He had DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson were both ahead of him on the depth chart. Yeah.
Right. So, anyways, and then the other thing I was thinking is, you know, Collins, if they're going to just leave somebody open, can you? I know Cookie doesn't have the best hands in the world sometimes, but why not split him out a little bit wide and maybe put the other running back in there as well at the same time and put a little more speed on the field? But, anyways,
yeah.
I think we'll be all right, and we just need to get a little more physical next week. We look like we just got manhandled by Baltimore, but we just need to redeem ourselves, and let's go Bills.
Thanks, Mark. Howard's going to pick the Bills next. We'll ask him about some of these issues. We'll get some calls in as well. 803-0550 on Cook being out wide. Like, just think of him like a wide receiver, right? We're back to think about these guys like they're things. I'm not saying you're wrong, but if the Bills were to do that, it would be, you know, you could have just had a wide receiver instead of Latavius Murray out wide like they had a million times last year. Might have been like three times, but I remember. Okay, 803-0550, more calls. Howard picks the Bills. We'll see what that loss did next.